Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Well,
hello everybody, and you're all very welcome to a very special edition of the Tommy, Hector and Loretta podcast, because we're together in the same room.
Party, party on. It's a bit weird now being together.
So Hector, you're just back from Lidl or Aldi or Serbia, one of those places. How was the trip home?
Last Thursday morning, we got out of the hotel room after 11 days isolation. I said goodbye to room 314, Mama Shelter, Belgrade, Serbia. We had an early flight to Istanbul with Turkish Airlines, and to actually get the boarding pass and to put our bags through, we had the hot sweats. We were still a little bit under the weather, but we were travelling home.
Yeah. Were you half afeared that you were going to be stopped?
No, because we had done our 10 days isolation. So in the meantime, so I had to get...
You wouldn't get them type of preparations now going to space.
Locked up in a room in Belgrade for 10 days.
You're the Neil Armstrong of Irish podcasting.
We had to...
Clear Galway.
We had to get a certificate of recovery, which is not the easiest thing to get in the middle of Serbia. With an Irish stamp on it. So I had to pull a few favours from my phone book. And
so who's number do you have that can help you in Serbia? Phone Michael D.
No, I didn't. But he's on the visa. He's there.
The ambassador.
I texted Simon Coveney.
Right.
I did.
Simon Coveney.
I texted Simon Coveney. I said, I need your help. I've only used it once or twice before when we were in China and we were having problems with visas.
And you killed a prostitute.
Help. Quick, I need to get home.
Simon, I'm after losing the run to myself with this little one.
It's like the start of Ray Donovan. Yeah, Ray Donovan comes in and cleans up your man. The basketball player's after killing your one in the bed. She's after having a heroin overdose, and you ring Ray Donovan. I rang Simon Coveney.
Ray Donovan, did he play for Galway?
Have you seen Ray Donovan?
No, he used to play basketball. No,
you have to watch the first episode. He fixes things for celebrities when it goes wrong in New York or in Los Angeles. So I texted the last time I used Simon Coveney's number was when we were in Chengdu.
I think we should give out his number during the podcast for Irish people all over the world.
Just bits of it every now and then.
I'm after running over a dwarf in Mexico.
I've got 2 kilos of cocaine left over here.
Just wondering, can I bring it back?
I'm not throwing it away at the airport. I rang him when we were trying to get to a place called Shangri-La in China a couple of years ago, and we hadn't a visa. And a fair play to him, he put me in touch with the Chinese embassy in Beijing, the Irish embassy, and they got into it. I needed to get a recovery certificate from the Greek embassy, which is the nearest consulate in the Balkans.
Yeah.
Because
that's the nearest country to Ireland in the alphabet.
So I was in touch with a great guy called Shane in the Greek embassy. He rang me.
Shane in the Greek embassy.
Is he Irish?
Why would you expect Constantinople or something?
Well, maybe something a bit more.
They're Irish. They work. They're Irish people working in an embassy.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant the Greek embassy, as in they were the Greeks.
No, the Irish embassy in Greece.
The Greek embassy would be in Dublin. Hector.
Or in Belgrade.
When you travel the world, like I've done.
Have you? Well, tell us more about that, will you?
God, Hector, have you been somewhere lately that we didn't hear about?
So Shane. Shane from the embassy in Greece in Athens got in touch within an hour. And when me and Roscoe were in and out my room at one stage and we're waiting on a phone call back, and I said, here's the number. It comes through as a Dublin number. But fair play to them. They heard what was happening. They knew we'd isolated for 10 days. I couldn't get the COVID certificate of recovery in Serbia, so it had to come from the Greek embassy. He said that he was inundated in the last 6 months and year with Irish people who were doing the same thing. They wanted to fly home. They've done their 10 days. They need to get that stamp to say they're allowed to board a plane. So within 24 hours less, we had an official letter with a harp on it and a signature on it. And it was like Roscoe was going, Hector, oh, we were hugging each other in the room. We'd get the COVID hugs.
You felt safe again.
We got on the plane on Thursday morning. We flew to Istanbul. Istanbul is a massive airport, massive. And our gate was 15B. There was no duty free, no nothing. We were sweating, panicking. We were walking along those elevator thingy bobs for every 100 yards.
Travelators
trying to get down to 15B. When we got to 15B, we just saw a load of freckly faced Caucasian white pasty people, women who had just had their noses done in Istanbul, lads that looked like Andrea Gassi because they've just had their hair done.
Teeth, like, what about the teeth?
The teeth were all done. There were women there after getting the Botox. I knew I was on my way home. So we arrived in Dublin Airport, said goodbye to the boys, and it was funny that I said goodbye to them at the when we got our bags, but they were doing the carne with all the equipment. So I said, I'm running for my bus home. So I was getting the Burke's bus home.
You got the bus?
I got the bus home. I was never so happy when I arrived at the far side of arrivals. I said it to the lad. I said, Pat, I knew one of the drivers. I said, what time are you leaving? He said, they're leaving at 4:45. It was 4:30. I went back into the little shop there halfway through at the car park.
Yeah.
I got a chicken stuffing sandwich.
That's our best
Could you
choice.
Taste it?
No,
I got. Oh, is it still not back?
It's still not back. I got a packet of tato. Oh. I got the Irish Examiner. I got a cup of tea, and I got on the bus for Galway, and I was never so happy to arrive back in Galway. And then I rang Big O Taxis 585858. How are you, Hector? How's it going? And I love hearing the stories of these local Hackney boys. So they dropped me home. When I got to the gate of my house, I could see the lights. I could see the car. I knew they were in the sitting room.
And another man didn't have dinner with the missus.
And the fire was on.
I could see the fire on, and my Dibna opened the door and she said, well, you better get in here now.
ASAP.
So hugs
what
all
a beautiful
round.
Thing for a waiting wife to say to her husband, you get in here now.
You get in here now. I went into the kitchen after about 20 minutes. It was great to hug the lads. Yeah. They came down and the smile on their face just to be there back home and safe and sound. But I went into the kitchen, said, are you hungry? There's dinner. What do you want? And I said, no, I just want a cup of tea. I said, have you any brown bread? And she said, yes, I have. Well, I attacked the brown bread, lumps of cheddar cheese, lumps of Brady's ham and mayonnaise. And I was just
crumbs all over your
arm. I was cutting more as I was eating it.
And how are your taste buds?
They're coming back slowly but surely. Slowly but surely.
What's the first thing you've tasted since?
I tasted the Sunday dinner there
yesterday.
Oh,
so you're sound. If you tasted that, cheer,
apple
grand.
Sauce with pork, I tasted.
Yeah. Yeah. Pork can be a bit chewy.
It can after COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
But
pork is a bit chewy.
Day two, not good.
I could smell the west of Ireland air a little bit the other day. Rocco was so nervously excited to see me. He couldn't believe I was back. He couldn't believe I was in the kitchen.
For people who don't know, Rocco is the Guatemalan child that Hector and his wife adopted.
He lives down the back of the house.
The Jack Russell, he started twiddling and running around and coming in and coming out, and he was going, are you back? Are you back, Hector? Are you back? Are you back? So it's amazing being back. We had the fire on and we've just been chilling. So, yeah.
Well, we're delighted to have you back too. We didn't hug
great.
You, but
it's great. And did you get to go to any GAA since you're back?
No. Yesterday afternoon, there was a tractor run in Laca for a girl who unfortunately had a terrible accident in Connemara where she slipped and hit her head and she was paralysed, a very fit, beautiful young girl who was out walking on in Connemara. But we had a tractor run for the family yesterday and there was 360 trucks and tractors.
Wow.
In Flinsalaca. There was 1,000 people there and we raised a huge amount of money for Olivia Lane and the family. And that's what I did yesterday. But it was so nice in the autumn sunshine to be back looking at tractors.
Was she just walking and she fell?
She was up in the mountain and she slipped on a rock and hit her head. And
Jesus.
Unfortunately, yeah. So that's what I did yesterday, just doing the simple things. No football until next weekend. But I'm just so happy. I cannot believe that we're back together. Yeah,
we're not
together.
We're not in the hen house now yet.
We're still a bit nervous. We're not in the hen house.
We're in a booth in Dublin.
So give me your updates now. You still sound nasally. You've had a
I've had a cold for about 6 weeks. But then our lads were in the county semi-final on Saturday night. Knockmore, that is. And we beat Gary Moore. So there needed to be a lot of vocal cords stretched on Saturday night because we were losing a lot at half time.
So Knockmore is Knockmore would be the big hill.
Yes.
What's Gary? What's on Gary?
The big
fields up there.
On Gardeen Moor.
So it was the big hill versus the big field.
Yeah. They've got nice big land up there in Gary Moore, you see. We don't know. We have bad land. So it was
I've been telling you that. Isn't it funny? I've been saying that to her for months, but she's...
It's coming round. I'm coming round to it, Tommy. I'm coming round to it. So you're invited down to the clubhouse now in Knockmore for the county final, lads, if you fancy a night out.
I'd love that. Yeah, what was the score? What did you beat them by?
2-11 to 11 points in the end, but we were losing by, I think, 3 or 4 at half time, so it wasn't looking good. So really, they only played for about 15 minutes in the second half and turned it around, scored about 12 points in 6 in about 10 minutes.
But Larita's big adventure really has been with her bulletproof action dad.
I had a busy week, so that's kind of why I spent all of Wednesday in A&E until 4 o'clock on Thursday morning.
So tell us all.
Yeah, because I couldn't believe when I heard the story.
So the man is made of kryptonite.
I don't know what he's made of, and I don't think the doctors do either.
He's 109, and he was riding in the 340 in Leopardstown on Sunday.
And he fell off the horse on the last hurdle.
What time did things kick off? What was it, last Thursday?
Last Wednesday, was it? I think Wednesday we were supposed to be having a chat, and then I had to ring you and say we need to abort. He was...
It's a harsh term, Larita. It's a harsh term. It's a very loaded political term.
I should have moved on from that. Don't dwell on that.
Abort the Zoom.
Don't dwell on that.
I remember hearing that when I was in my mother's womb.
Tommy, for fuck's sake. I'm moving on. So we had to... I had to cancel the podcast. My father took a bad smash. Jesus, we couldn't get him up. He was in a lot of pain, but he was conscious.
So I'm sure a lot of listeners will be half clued in on your dad. So he's 85.
86.
86.
Had a stroke last April, I think, or May or whatever. Was in hospital for a few months, home, doing okay.
Yeah.
Had a few stumbles, but nothing serious. And
has a bit of whiskey in the coffee every morning.
Yes, that's part and parcel of his morning routine. So my nephew was there with him, actually. He's 12 and he was just brilliant. He didn't panic at all. Pressed his panic button. My father couldn't get it.
Now, is this the panic button I have on my phone?
Yes. It's not on his phone. It's on his wrist. But I think I'm going to get one for Christmas.
Where were you?
Christmas,
in the kitchen?
Tommy.
Was it in the kitchen?
No, he fell in the bathroom. So smashed his face off the railings and off the floor, off the tiled floor. Got a bad doing. There was a lot of blood. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. And he was like, no, I didn't lose consciousness. I'm fine. Got our neighbour up, who's a nurse, and she was chatting to him. And my nephew had put cushions under him and made him all, you know, as comfortable as he could. And he said,
he had to leave him on the floor.
Oh, yeah, we couldn't get him up. Like, it would be very difficult for me to get him up my own. But there was a few of us there and we couldn't. So the ambulance said, listen, don't move him. We'll get there ASAP. He hasn't got a great heart. So we're conscious of him being under pressure and lying face down, putting his heart under more pressure. So anyway, we eventually got him up to A&E and they let me go with him. And I was in A&E with him for most of the night and he was going mad. I don't want to be here, he said. Who rang the ambulance? I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know who rang the ambulance. I shouldn't be up here. He was like, there's nothing wrong with me. And I mean, his face
and
was...
And the nose over near his ear.
His nose was definitely not straight. There was blood, like, congealed all over his face and his lip and his chin was split. But he didn't need to get stitches, which was...
Incredible.
Bizarre, like. And then his ribs were all sore and all swollen and he was like, there's nothing wrong with me. He was like, Jesus Christ, he said, I shouldn't be up here at all. So eventually the next morning...
Isn't he a tough creator?
Tough.
Hardy book.
Tough, like, not even... And they kept saying to him, I said, is your nose sore? No, not a bit sore. Will you stop going on about it? Can we go home? I was like, Dad, I was like, can you stop? I was like, you have to wait here. I'm not waiting here any longer. Where is these doctors? What are they all doing here? So eventually they said they were going to keep him in because it was suggesting in his bloods that he was having a heart attack. But they weren't really that bothered about it. But anyway, he I don't know, his bloods aren't good because his heart isn't good. So yeah. Eventually the next day the doctor rang me and he said, he doesn't want to stay, but I've convinced him if he stays for one more night, we let him go home tomorrow. So on the Friday, the doctor rang me and he said, look, do you want to come up and see if you want to take him home or will I send him home? I said, no, we have to take him home. He doesn't want to be there. Is he going to be any better from in the hospital? No. He said, and by the way, he said, I don't know what he's made of, but he said he didn't even crack a bone in his rib or he didn't even break his nose. And he was like, honestly, hard. I had to check the x-rays a couple of times because he was like, I was sure we were missing something. Like how he didn't even,
does he have
not one thing, he didn't even break his finger when he fell or his, like he smashed. He looks like Tyson Fury gave him a bad doing. Wow. Like.
Does he have an awareness of, does he talk much about dying?
Yes. And he said to me the other night when I was leaving him at 4 o'clock in the hospital, he says, do not leave me here. I do not want to die in this hospital, he said. And I said to him, but you're not going to. And he goes, how do you know I'm not going to die here? And I said, well, I don't think you will. Like, there's loads of doctors around. And he says, take me home with you. I'd rather die at home than die in here.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, he knows his heart is in good shape, but...
And the determination to be at home for whenever, and please God, it'll be another long stretch down the road. Like, but that kind of a man who's worked hard on the farm since he was 11 or 12 years of age.
Yeah, it's tough. Like,
and he's kind of going, I am not going to die in an environment like this.
Oh,
yeah.
Left on a trolley,
To be longing for one thing, to long for being home inside his own door, in his own kitchen, drinking
that's
out of his own mug.
Happy out there this morning, you know. I went in to visit him before he left and he's, my brother had him left there propped up on the chair and told him not to move until he comes back later, and I made him a cup of coffee. I didn't put the whiskey in.
Hang on. Your brother put him into the chair?
No, just told him not to be moving around. Like,
and how long was the brother be gone for?
I know, he'd be gone for an hour. Like,
an
he
hour.
Won't be any longer than that. You
all
know?
Right.
Well, we're only going to leave him there for the day. We didn't have him tied to the chair either, just in case. But he...
Watching this morning.
Yeah. He's watching...
Change that television!
He's watching everything. Dying
Mora.
Yeah, he's watching The Chase. He absolutely... He's sick of that now as well.
Yeah.
But he was delighted to get home on Saturday evening or Friday so he could watch our match on Mayo TV, and got to watch the Knockmore match. And he said to me, I'll be able to go to the county final now, it's in Ballina. I said, of course you will, we'll get you in there for the
fair
final.
Play to you, Brendan. And tell me, what else is on Mayo TV?
Just Mayo matches, just round wall to wall Mayo matches, junior, intermediate.
There's no
junior
like lifestyle programmes?
No, it's just you pay to watch a match.
Or is it, would there be mass from a different parish every day or something like that?
No, he can watch that now. There's another, that's called Church TV. That's
really?
A different channel. So you can watch wall-to-wall masses in every church in Ireland.
Really?
Any time of the day
I
or night.
I fucking love that.
You should get that in, Tommy.
My father would just be delighted. He'd ring you one morning. He says, I was watching mass in Belmullet this morning. I said, oh, were you? And I knew the priest as well. He says, I knew it was Father John. He said, he used to be up here. So, yeah, it's great, Tommy. Any church, anywhere.
Yeah, I'd love to just have an afternoon, just see what's going on in Dungarvan.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Sometimes now during the, you might be struggling to be morning or evening masses. You wouldn't normally get a lot during the day.
And you also had a big thing from your cousin, the President of America.
Yeah, I know, Hector, and I know you think he's not doing very much, but he did.
Hang on a second. Just because he fell asleep at the global meeting over in Edinburgh.
That's because I asked him to do a video.
Would you send Brendan
me?
Over?
Yeah. He did a video for me for the opening of the hospice, yeah, which we had. The Roscommon Hospice is officially opened.
Great,
congratulations.
We opened it on Friday. It was a great day. And
is there any point in myself and Hector reserving beds now?
I had them reserved for you on Friday, but you couldn't come.
Two window beds.
Yeah, two. No,
in the same room, Tommy.
No, not the same room.
You won't be allowed.
We'll cocoon.
I told
isolation.
You.
Isolation, Tommy and Hector.
We've got one giant room. It's called a bariatric room. It's for if you're overweight. But you could fit two beds in there and I could... Okay. I could maybe reserve that one for you.
Okay.
There's a hoist in it that takes you from the bed to the bathroom. And they can lift you from the bed
and
to the shower.
Lots of opium suppositories.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe we could sort that out. And there's a little garden outside and you can be wheeled out or
pushed
out.
And were you surprised by getting the message from American Joe?
Well, I asked them to do it. So they had said to me, listen, he's too busy. There's too much on. We're trying to get
the world is on fire.
Yeah. We're trying to get the infrastructure bill in. He has to go to this. We'll send you a letter. I said, come on, a letter. A letter's not great. Could you send me a video? No, I can't send you a video. Please, can you send me a video? And then it was going back and forth. And then got it. the day.
Lo and behold, it was a great video.
Beautiful.
No, and well done. Congratulations on all what you've done there.
Yeah,
Rita.
So anyway, it was more exciting in the club on Saturday, to be honest, after and now our ladies are in the Connacht semi-final.
Again, who?
Against Clonburne. Is it Kilcairn,
who beat Clare Galway ladies for the fifth time in about 7 years. They're serious operators now, the Divilies and all them. Yeah. That's a serious team, ladies team.
So 2 weeks' time, we've got our ladies out in the Connacht and we've got our men playing Belmullet. As they say back in Belmullet.
Oh, yeah. And that's magnificent from Belmullet for a little
time
parish
since 1981.
First night at the Cage of Fields.
Belmullet to be in a senior.
Geez, I went to watch them play with sports
yesterday. A lot of them players, they've been hauled from wreckage from the ocean.
Geez, they're tough
and
boys.
And rebuilt.
I'll tell you, they're tough, tough boys.
Of course
boys.
They are.
So for a North Mayo final, it's first time, I'd say, in a long time now, I'd say, since... 23, 24 years.
I was up in Belfast.
So Tommy, over to you. So
Tommy was
over,
our community,
community. Our northern correspondent.
Tommy Garman
Tommy
here.
Tommy Magner. So the missus and the missus got out of lockdown. She had the COVID, she had to stay in. She had a bad dose of the COVID. Sore muscles, sore legs. But she said the mind starts to play tricks. And she'd been on her own for 6 days.
Hear, hear.
And only after the 6 days did her skin get soft enough to be able to have a shower.
Oh.
You know, it was a big sting.
Sore, yeah.
Yeah, but she got into the fucking shower and she forgot that she was wearing her glasses.
I didn't know what you were going to say.
And she was just looking up at the water going, what's wrong with my eyes? What's wrong with my eyes?
I can't feel it anymore. I feel water in the eyes.
she got out on Saturday and then the two boys get out tomorrow. So I've been on my own in Belfast trying to pass the time. I was up there for a week with nothing to do. A week in Loyalist, Catholic, Protestant, Ulster, Belfast. So what does a man do on his own for that length of time, Hector? That's right, he starts fucking backing horses. A man who has never backed horses before.
Come on, Tommy.
Oh my God.
You didn't text me.
I started.
Jesus, Tommy, you went a bit heavy.
Tommy, hang on a second.
So for those who don't know, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I have 10 betting slips here.
And it's the same bookmaker.
Same bookmaker.
Who did you go into?
I can't tell you the name, but this is what I've done.
What time of the day did you go in backing a horse?
The first races are 1:10 from fucking Chantilly.
Chantilly's in France, Tommy.
Yes.
He's backing French horses in Belfast.
How did you pick them?
So let me tell you, I come up with a fucking plan.
Right.
Now, because for me to start backing horses now, I don't want to learn, I don't want to be trying to be clever.
Right.
I don't want to be trying to figure out which horse is going to win. I don't want to know about fucking who the horse's mother and father was, what kind of weather he likes, what he's had for dinner, what happened in the last race he was in, who's riding him, how kind of a mood that fella's in, who's training the horse. There's too many imponderables. And the bookies and horse racing is full of fuckers trying to outsmart reality.
Yes.
And I'm just going, I have another fucking system going now.
I know exactly what you did.
What did he do?
He went with the favourite names.
No, I didn't. That's fucking...
No, he just closed his eyes.
No, I'd wait. I have a system and it worked twice. I tried it twice.
Ah, stop.
And
tell
it worked
us all. We need
twice.
It.
Okay.
So, my theory was that in a race, realistically speaking, if there are 7 horses in the race, your horse, generally speaking, has a 1 in 7 chance.
Right.
That's big now. This is revolutionary stuff here.
Okay, this
of winning.
Yes.
So you back the horse that's closest to that price. So I went in. I went into McLean's Bookmakers.
I know them.
Opposite the Europa Hotel. And I had £100 in my pocket.
Sterling.
And I said, I'm going to commit to this. I'm going to back 10 horses.
Right.
I'm going to put a tenner on each horse. I'm only going to back horses that are in races with 10 or more other horses.
Right.
And I'm going to commit to it.
Jesus.
Do you follow me plan here?
I'm with
very
you.
I've
been backing horses for a long time.
Let me tell you what I went on now.
Right, so the first one, Chantilly.
I put £10 on Sweetheart.
Right.
Finished sixth, but finished strongly.
Okay, gone.
Gone, tenner gone. The 125 at Exeter.
Oh, yes.
I put a tenner on Adventura. Nowhere to be seen. The 136, I was fucking conned in the 136.
Why?
Steeple Downs. Doesn't fucking exist.
That's a cartoon.
Yeah, it's a fucking robot horses. You may as well be fucking watching Scooby-Doo versus fucking Daffy Duck.
On the cartoons, there are men and there are people that go into bookmakers all over the country that sit there watching these cartoons. And the funny thing is, even if your horse is leading by about six lengths, that when he jumps the last fence, the whole picture jumps. They all jump.
Fucking stupid. But I had committed to the premise. Right. Let me run through.
Yes, keep going.
One more time. A horse, you back 10 horses in 10 different races. You look for races that have more than 10 runners and you back the horse closest to that price. So 11 to 1, 9 to 1.
Yes.
That's what you do. Okay. I figured that this is my approach. Right. So the 133 at Lingfield.
Oh, yes.
11 to 1.
Whoa.
Comachies. Roadhog. Tommy Tiernan. He just made his money.
What was the name of the horse?
Comachies. Comochies. Comachies.
C-A-M-O-C-H-E-E. £10 sterling on.
11 to 1 she came in.
120 back.
I had the theory fucking proof.
What did you think when the horse won? What happened? Where were you? What was it like inside your mask?
It was just, I was excited. I was shouting. I was the only fella in the fucking bookie shouting at half one at a race from Lingfield. But it so showed me, Tommy, your plan fucking works.
Did you wait in there while all the races were on?
So what I was watching them on the television. Oh, yeah. So I decided what I'd do then is that I should see this through to the end of the 10.
Yes.
That was the fourth horse. The
Don't
fourth
break
horse
it now,
had won.
Yeah.
So I went, well, the 145, I had Manx 3 from Fairy House, no good. Red Car, I had First Impression, come in second. The 203 at Lingfield, I had Sir Hector, last. Fucking the 240 at Red Car, Willa, friend of mine, fucking last. And the 245, I had Shantow Lucky, come in fucking third, but he ran well. But I had the theory fucking proven.
Right.
So I said, okay, if it really works, you'll win the next day and you'll fucking do it again.
And you walk straight back into the
bookies. I walked straight back into the bookies at about fucking 1 o'clock in the day.
Yes.
And I said, okay, 10 horses. I'm going to back a horse that there has to be at least 10 horses running in the race and I'm only going to back a horse that's in and around that price.
Right.
First race, the 12:40 from Nottingham, Miss Blanner Hassett.
And what was she at?
She fucking, I don't know what she at, but she wasn't running. But the fucking 12:30 from Chepstow, hardcore, 11 to 1.
Yay.
Tommy Tiernan wins again.
Get in.
So two another 11 one. To 1s.
All right, so you're up now.
I'm done. I've proved it. So now I have to go for the third day. I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to go for the third.
Tommy.
But that's what I fucking did.
And what did they think when you're up at the counter going up with your bets? Did they know it was
you? They don't talk to you.
Nobody talks.
Nobody cares.
You get more chat in the fucking Hackney office.
Did you sit in one of the armchairs? Did you take it all in or did you stand? And what did you do?
I was sitting down watching, but it's fierce exciting because what made it such a joy was that I wasn't trying to be clever. I wasn't trying to figure out who was going
to fucking
win. The
trainer, the jockey, the
fuck
ground.
Fuck that. 10 to 1 and a 10 horse. But you have to commit.
Right.
You have to commit to, if you're going... So it's all about tens.
Yeah.
So you have to give yourself 10 chances of winning. The horse has to be up against 9 other horses.
Yes.
And the odds have to be in your favour. So you commit to it. Now, so the first time I won on the fourth race and the second time I won in the second race.
Wow. So but you were up. You're
that was
up
good now.
Up.
Well done. That was a good day's work.
And you're going to go back again?
I'll go back again.
No, you should stop now. You should stop now. That's a good place to stop.
No, but isn't it a queer theory that there might be something in it? Was I lucky twice, Hector?
Yeah, you were very lucky.
But what I noticed was
You have a system
what
now.
I noticed was that the horse that's in a 10-horse race, the horse that's backed, especially in the jumps, a horse that's backed around 10 to 1, at some stage of the race, they'll be fourth or fifth. Mm-hmm. And it's whether they drop back
of course,
or fucking kick
of course.
On.
But what you're doing there, Tommy, is you're backing on the nose. You're putting £10 win on each of these horses.
Yes.
You're not going, like, my rule will be over 7-2, 4-1 being each way price, but I'd only get too technically with you there.
Sorry, I fell asleep there.
That's no crack. There's no crack when you have
7-2, 4-1 being each way price.
It's too careful.
What Tommy does is on the nose. You will back on the nose 10-1, 20-1.
Not 10-1, no, it depends. If there's 20 horses in the race, I'll do it 20-1.
Yeah. You'll always go for the 10 or if it's 10 horses in the race, 10-1, 9-1, 11-1, 8-1.
Yeah.
In or out. That.
Okay, let's bring them to Cheltenham then.
They'll
this
always
year.
Show Hector, they'll always be fourth. Fourth and gathering pace, or fourth and dropping back. And it's a fucking and it's so delightful because you're not trying to be clever, you're not trying to outsmart anybody. You've a very fucking simple system. And you always get value. A 10 to 1 horse will generally give you fucking value.
Absolutely, if it's a tenner on the nose, you're back. Your budget is back up intact. But you went in with a budget, you weren't going to chase it, you weren't going to put a 400
Well,
and
the funny thing is now, I saw the sign on the wall, gambling is fun. Do not view gambling as another source of income. And I went over with a fucking pen and I wrote, unless you're the fucking bookie.
or unless you have a system.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so a good system.
Tommy,
now.
Interesting.
Bit of crack,
and
isn't it?
Did it while away a couple of hours every afternoon?
Well, I just went twice.
Now, that'd only work on horses, would it? Or any, is there nothing else you couldn't?
Well, you could look at a...
What else could you gamble on, like?
Soccer or goals.
How do you...
Dogs. There's never 10 dogs in a race, is there?
How do you work out odds in your favour in a soccer match? Like, how do you work out odds in...
Soccer's all about stats. It's stats. And both teams to score.
See, that's too much.
In my system, you don't have to know nothing about nothing.
No.
Just go in.
Tommy's an actorist of his own making.
That was a tenner a pop. What if I brought up to £100 a pop.
No, that's too much.
Then you're getting into murky waters.
How so?
And how would you get 100 horses?
You're going to have a 1,000 budget then, Tommy.
Can you fucking
there wouldn't be 100 horses.
I can see Tommy coming to Cheltenham with me in a year's time.
Oh, I can't
100,000.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yes. The double dole.
A Tesco bag full of cash.
So that's right past the time then.
So that was one of the days.
That was two of the days. Another day then I went to a Protestant snooker club.
And how did you get on there?
Fine, yeah.
Style four.
Don't tell me you were wearing a jersey or...
I went in my broadest southern accent.
And
grand. Like, but I was kind of bored for the week that I was up there, to be honest with you.
And did you play any pool or snooker?
I had a game of snooker by myself, but sure, you know.
There's no crack taking
there's no crack
the
in that. Yeah.
Yeah, so in a way, Tommy, you were isolating yourself.
Totally.
In a way. Well, it's the maddest feeling ever. And my head is still... I feel... The only way to describe it is... Even though the sense of smell and taste will come back, and it is coming back slowly, my head still feels like a derelict housing estate that was built outside Port Leash.
How do you mean?
Why?
Because it feels my head feels half built. I feel like
empty.
I feel like a factory that's been closed down, and there's only a skeleton shift on in there. There's only two lads in there.
Do you feel tired? Like
tired, and it's a bit head mushy.
So, and how does that manifest itself then?
It's like people say, "Oh, how did you?" How do you feel after it? It's not like a head cold that wears off and you're almost back to normal. I still feel as if it's 60% there, 40% is gone. I have to rebuild the 40%. It's a hard one to explain.
In what way? Like
my head feels as if I know.
Is there stuff you're not able to think of? Are you missing words?
You'd be a bit zonked. It feels like it's
attention span low.
Yes, and a headachey. But it just feels as if the head is not back to the way it was a couple of weeks ago. And it's very, very strange. Very strange. Now, I went for a walk yesterday, did a couple of kilometres, first bit of exercise done in 2 weeks. But my head feels a little bit sieve-like, empty, and like there's only a skeleton crew of two lads in there where there should have been 20 lads all at the coalface churning in stuff.
And how are you feeling about going back? Because you're due to go back on the road.
We're due to go back on the road, yeah.
And
I'm worried
about
Evan getting it. And then I come back here and then I realise...
Well, so he didn't get it, of course.
Evan didn't
get
it. And then the numbers are flying in every country. The numbers are just going through the roof everywhere. And more and more people are getting in this country, and I don't know what the answer to this is, but I'm glad I had the shots, and I'm glad it didn't get down in my body or the lungs or something. But it's just a strange feeling in your head. You feel as if it just is a...
Don't say that thing about the two fellas again, because you said it twice already. If you say that a third time, you can't get worried.
It's like
there's two fellas in my head.
It's like a half-finished housing estate.
Yeah, you said that already. Yeah. Say it to the episode
it's
before.
It's like a shop...
Is it a derelict house?
It's like a shop... front that the shutters are pulled down on, and they're sort of...
It's still hard for us to work that analogy out.
You're like a hairdresser in the main street in Longford Town.
Yes.
Only opened
quiet,
once a week.
It's quiet, but no, I will get back into it because I'm home now and I have a couple...
Emotionally, how are you?
I'm fine, yeah. I'm not too bad. I'm just happy to be back. We've a huge weekend at the weekend.
Did you get emotional when you were over there? Did you start crying or anything?
No, but you'd be there going, fucking what in the name of God is happening, and why did this happen? And on about the fifth or sixth day in the hotel room, you wouldn't go, not that you go out of your mind, because we had the mobile and we had Wi-Fi and we'd have movies.
Did you start talking to the furniture?
No, but
hello,
I was so happy to be leaving. I took the do not disturb sign off the hotel door that morning at 6:30, and I took a photo of the door. I left the kettle inside.
Took a photo of the door.
I left the kettle inside for somebody who the cleaner...
Oh, did you not bring it with you? Thought you were bringing the new kettle.
I was going to bring the kettle, but when you're just happy to get to the airport.
I suppose.
But, you know, we were just so delighted to get on a flight home.
So and this weekend now you've got...
I've got the under-17A county final and under-17B county final in Tuam Stadium with the two boys playing. So it's a big weekend.
And are they
the
both
club.
On the same, like, one after the
yeah,
other?
Yeah, 12:30 and 2:30. So it's never been done
class.
By a club before. So I'm delighted for the smaller lad, Shane, who's getting better all the time. And he's just sprouting. He's sprouting with confidence. And for a lad who was always small and one of the youngest on the team, he's playing two great grades up. I said to him, he says, Dad, my birthday's at the end of the month. I says, because, you know, you want to spoil him when you haven't seen him. And he said, I says, what are you looking for? He says, would you get us 5 size 5 footballs? O'Neill's.
My goodness.
Good. Aye, that's what he wants. He wants to practice the shot.
Follow your passion.
Follow your passion. He wants a few balls when he goes up to the pitch. So I think it's, you know, that's what they do now on all these, on O'Neill's and Michael Murphy and Elvery's now. They sell them in 5. They sell them by 5. All young lads. When they
we
go
better
up to the
get
pitch,
Trevor Watson on the job, will we?
Trevor Watson, O'Neill's.
Yeah. Trevor, so sort that
five
out.
5 size 5s. So,
who the fuck is Trevor Watson?
Trevor Watson.
I see now if you were in Trevor
Watson
jerseys
is
now.
One of the O'Neill's reps. Yeah. From Mayo, from Ballinrobe.
Yes, he takes care of the footballs. That's why we were talking about the footballs.
All right, okay.
But so look at it's even driving up the motorway today. Coming.
How are you driving? Was your fellas working in your head?
Do they have to work on shifts now when they're going?
The shift worker.
What we did was we pulled into the Apple Green.
One
and
of them
we
drove that
loan,
did they?
We changed shifts, and I had the window open. I had music on, and
you'd be better off driving the old road because
no, Tommy.
For shift purposes,
keep
it
in 120 and just embrace that motorway.
You'd never get up if you were going those roads.
It was fine. It'll be different now going back down tonight. We'll have to concentrate. Because there's only two man shift on tonight in the head. Whether I'll stop at the Apple Green here or will I stop at Kilbeggan, I don't know. But I trust the boys in me head that they'll get me home.
But maybe a couple more might start before you finish.
You've had this lingering head cold for months.
Months. I don't think I'll
and
ever
Tommy,
get rid
you've
of
escaped it all.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I'm noticing though, so I'm about to start recording the chat show. And I noticed the effect that stress has on my body. And that
in what way?
It's probably unfair to be putting myself through it. Like I get so, I clench so much before something like the chat show.
Like
it's kind of unfair to my central nervous
as
system.
In, like the day before or when
like
you're
weeks
about to start?
Before. And
oh,
I'm just wondering, I've chatted with you about this before, about stressless work. And the virtue of stressless work.
Mm.
In fairness, Tommy, you made yourself a bit stressed there by not knowing who your guests are.
Yeah, I know, but that's the jeopardy that's the jeopardy that I don't know if it ensures the quality of the show, but it kind of that's part of the price.
Yeah, well, yeah,
certainly,
yeah, of course.
The stress doesn't come across on the camera, Tommy.
Once
when you get into that conversation,
once I'm in the conversation, I'm fine.
Right.
But it's the days beforehand.
It's hard to believe that, isn't it? That you do get that
my
stress.
My body just starts to fucking. It's like all my system starts fucking shutting down,
and how
I
do
get
you think
this
it's
glow
coming out?
In my fucking diaphragm. I can feel, and I'm wondering, am I making myself sick? So it just would lead me to ask you then about stress. and work. And I'm sure there are loads of people out there with fucking stressful jobs. But say your father now, Loretta, like, he worked on a farm since he was two. And do you know what I mean? Do you think he ever found it stressful to the point of his... of maybe if the farm was going through bad times. I must have told you the story before about my father. And when interest rates in the country were up to 18%, and he got a letter from one of the building societies saying that if you miss one... They started missing payments in the 80s. Because what's the interest rate now? 4 or 5%? In the 80s, they went up to fucking 17 and 18% interest on your loan. And but the father had the job. And
yes, of course.
He had a fixed wage and he just couldn't... He missed a couple of payments. And he said he got a letter and he knew it was a fucking... He'd gotten a few letters before and he'd missed a couple of payments. And he got a letter from the building society. And he said, telling me the story, he said, I knew I couldn't open it in the house for fear of what my reaction might be and the wife and the family reading it off my face. So he said, I was working in Knobber at the time, and halfway to Knobber I pulled in to a lay-by and I read the letter. And it said, if you miss one more payment, we're sending the bailiffs round. And he said, and I vomited.
Fuck.
I vomited out the side of the car.
And would you feel like you're at that level of stress?
I'm asking about is, say, with your father now, the farm might have gone through tough times financially, but generally speaking, my father would say that his job wasn't stressful.
No, he would. His job wouldn't. You'd have the day-to-day maybe stuff of finances, but the actual job itself wasn't a stressful job, I don't think, you'd be doing...
When he was selling his stock at the mart would be a stressful day. I mean, trying to get his best price when he's selling his livestock or something like that. Probably, farmers do,
Everyone's different. Or everyone deals with it differently. Like stress.
Did Mickey Keoghan, did he say he was stressed?
Tommy, we had a shop in the main street of the town. It was a family shop, and that all went down the tubes. And that was stressful when my dad died, and we had no car, and my mother had to buy our first car, and. You know, on the social welfare and stuff like that. Like, I'm sure my mother went through
those levels of stress. Kind of, they put my worry about a fucking chacho into fucking.
That's what I was going to say.
Like, yeah, you've kind of blown me out of the water there. Like, well, at least you don't know what case is going to come on. I kind of get worried in case they've nothing to say to them.
So it's about dealing with that. But Tommy, like,
and him getting 500 grand an episode.
You wouldn't have to worry about a car, you bastard.
I mean, what if something comes on? They've nothing to say to them.
Oh God, I'm not even sure what I'm going to wear.
Any of the bookies in Belfast and all that. Isolated in a 5-star hotel.
He'll have his own bookie
next. How many movies did you watch in the isolation week?
I tell you, I didn't watch a fierce amount of movies, but I tell you what I did do. I spent an awful lot of money on whiskey.
What kind of ones?
Because, you see, I wasn't... I had a decision to make. Now, do I go to an off-licence and have a bottle up in the room for the week?
And that's perfectly all right, Tommy.
Or do I just say, no, room service?
Please say you went out of the room and went to a pub.
But see, I don't have a fucking smartphone, so I can't carry around my COVID cert on me. I have a fucking...
You can just print it out.
I did print it up, but I couldn't find it every
night. And the other thing is...
You're not looking for them up there, I thought.
Ah, they are.
You can't be ringing down to reception,
Ron. Tommy, please don't tell me you were sitting up in the room.
Put me through to Ripple's restaurant there, please. Hello? Hello, Ripple's restaurant, room service. Hello, could I have another double Middleton, please?
No, it was a... hello, what was
the... Were you putting on the accent?
Hello, hello, the Causeway Restaurant, Jasper speaking.
Hello, Jasper.
Hello, Jasper, Tommy in room 949.
Tommy.
Send us up another double Middleton there. So what I found was the price of the whiskey in the bar in the Europa would be much more expensive now than... So that's how I spent the week.
Tommy,
you've officially become an old age pensioner who's going around and trying to spend their pension week to week on the bus, and they go to a pub and they go, jeez, the Guinness is a lot more dearer now in Westport than it is in Knockmore.
I was back in the hospital in Lingfield, and I was also and a great glass of whiskey now. This is done, it's all good. Shit the mules.
I get a glass of whiskey for 10p cheaper.
Did you buy a bottle then from the off-license?
I bought a bottle in the off-license then. I couldn't buy a full bottle. I'd put it in a little half. That thing of stressful jobs.
Everyone's job is stressful sometimes. Like, my job was stressful on Friday because I had to MC the opening and I was a bit stressed about that. But, like, it's not stressful that it'd put you off.
Yeah, I think Hector's mother's winning so far. Yeah. She's winning.
She's definitely winning.
We had no car for 4 or 5 years, and we had to carry the shopping home.
How long of a walk was that? Like?
That's about 6 miles.
Oh, for fuck's sake! Tommy, why'd you bring this up?
The Dunn stores bags would be cutting. There'd be blood in my hands. coming home
and,
every
and you wouldn't see it on Padre Pio but up Calvary.
And you had to bring a bag of spuds on your shoulders.
Oh, to hold the whole thing. But it, look at it, every, each their own. Taking a whiskey last Sunday night in Serbia, me and Roscoe knew we were coming out the other side. And Roscoe said, he texted me on the WhatsApp, and I can hear him, I can almost hear the WhatsApp next door. He goes, how are you? Will we go down to the supermarket? I said, what'll we get? And he said, right, I need to get toothpaste. And I said, I need deodorant. And he said, right, will we get out? So we gowned up, masked up, and snuck out of the hotel room, down the lift. Nobody saw us. And it was like day 9 of the isolation. We were going out of our minds. And we went into this shopping centre. There was a supermarket on the bottom floor. We went over and we went, right, what do we need? Oh, we'll get some satsumas. Yeah, oranges.
Satsumas.
Oranges, yeah.
Mandarins, they call them.
And then Roscoe goes, well, should we need some antibacterial stuff like kefir or stuff for our stomach? So we went over and bought 2 full big litres of kefir, which is this white stuff that you're supposed to line your stomach. Do you know the fermented stuff? And we thought we were doing great. And then we said, will we get some...
What's the Irish... Is it milk of magnesium or something?
Well, kefir would be more like... what's that thing they say
kefir
about...
Kefir is kind of like a
modern
Barry
Murphy,
milk.
Barry Murphy joke, the German joke about the bacteria in your stomach. Ooh, Danon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's a good joke about that. But it's about the bacteria.
Yeah, so if anybody would like to find out about that joke, just Google Barry Murphy Danone joke.
Danone. It's a good joke. Occult or Yakult.
Yakult.
Yeah, the occult is a different thing.
That's for washing the toilet.
Alistair Crowley and fucking hexagrams and fucking witches up in doubt.
Yakult.
So, that's such a... Yakult for yogurt loving witches.
Yakult for... having a problem with ghosts and bacteria.
Yeah.
So we bought the 2 litres
of kefir.
And then Roscoe said, we get some sesame sticks. And then I said, will we get some cheese?
Sesame sticks.
What sort of fucking chomping trippy
eater? Hang on, but our brains are mush. We're mush.
Well, obviously.
We're like robots. We don't know where we are. And then Roscoe went, will we buy whiskey? And I went, yes, because I'm just so fed up of taking ibuprofen and vitamin C and dink and ding zinc and this and diorolites and this and paracetamol. And so we went straight over and we bought a litre of Jameson. And then Roscoe said, well, we may as well get the lemons, because I said, I have a kettle above in the room. And then Roscoe said, do you reckon they've got cloves? So when we're in a supermarket in Serbia, we Googled cloves. It's like Sagoski, and went over to the cooking area.
Sagoski, they do helicopters as well as cloves, do they?
They look a bit alike, in fairness, like, don't they?
You can Google this now.
Go up to the fucking cashier. She have any helicopters? I'm sorry.
We went over, we Googled it, and then we found the name of this. We were looking at all these little things, you know, like your black pepper refills, all that. And then lo and behold, we found a punnet or a little jar of cloves. We went back up to the room and we drank a litre of whiskey and hot whiskies with Christy Moore, Planks
and
tea,
Sesame
Damien
sticks.
Dempsey.
The fuck?
And it was just, I was by about 12:30 with the ibuprofen. I didn't know where I was. I was great. I put Roscoe into bed in his clothes and I put the Christy Moore right up to his ear to nullify him to sleep. And we had Bruce
Springsteen. If you want to go to work, if you're going to do it, then do it.
We had Damien Dempsey and it was like we were really...
I take the roof off this place.
We're going to take the roof off it. And it was just a lovely evening where we finished a litre of whiskey in hot whiskies. And the next morning, I can tell you one thing with COVID and a hangover, they don't go together. Because I texted him and I went, how are you feeling? He went, squally. So we were squally the next day.
And that was the morning you were heading home?
No, it was 2 days. It was a couple of days later.
Well, it's great to have you back.
You know how we were talking about our uniform choices the last podcast or a few podcasts ago?
What uniform would you like to wear?
Yeah. Well, I got a delivery to my house for Hector.
What? This is a complete... What did you get me?
Open it.
What did you get me?
Got a full delivery.
Why was I on about a uniform?
What uniform did you want to wear, Hector? Hector, what did you want to be?
Can you remember?
I wanted to be an All-Ireland referee. You didn't get me an official All-Ireland referee.
I didn't, but you got this from...
Hang on a second.
Look, Hector.
It's the All-Ireland referee jersey.
Put it on you. And you got a note. Read it out.
It's from Croke Park.
Go on, read it.
Hang on. Do you know the funny thing is, this morning, David Goff, The brilliant
look at his socks.
The referee socks,
Hector.
I got referee socks.
Your own one, Hector.
I got referee shorts.
Oh my God, he's on in Tomb Stadium
next Saturday. David Goff, the brilliant referee from Meath,
who's
refereed multiple All Ireland finals, just started following me on Twitter this morning.
Oh my God, Hector! He's actually gave you the cards as well. Oh my God, Hector, you've got the rule book.
I've got the rule book. I've got the GAA handbook.
Take me and Hector, and I've got
the yellow cards and red cards official.
Oh my God, this is like a make-a-wish, Hector.
Hang on a second.
Read the letter.
Hang on.
Where's my glasses?
Do you want to borrow mine?
Yes.
Tommy, hang on, I have it here. They're so small, you can fit them in his back pocket.
David Goff started following me on Twitter this morning, right?
Right, so go on.
And one of the great referees. One of the great Meath men. Referees are hard.
This feels like Christmas morning.
Go on, Hector.
The Croke Park, Hector O'Cara. I hope this finds you well. I've been listening in weekly to the THL podcast and I love it. It keeps me company on my runs down the Grand Canal. And although I'm usually so out of breath from laughing, I still manage to run. Sometimes I stop with all the laughing. Just sending you a little package. I hope it all fits and that you get to referee that match someday. Call out to see us in Stackallan and Slane. Ah, for fuck's sake. This is David Goff.
The best referee in Ireland.
He just followed me on Twitter this morning. I followed him back. I kid you not.
Finish the letter.
Keep doing what you're doing. Love to Tommy and Loretta. Best wishes, David Goff. I still haven't forgiven you for leaving Trevor Giles off Mount Rushmore when you did the best Meath players of all time on Mount Rushmore. That is from David fucking Goff.
Wow. Hector, you've got like the referee match record card.
This is brilliant. This is magnificent.
Oh my God, you write, get to write the names in there.
Look at the little book.
I never seen a referee's card before. Oh, that is class.
What you should do now is you should put the whole outfit on and then just take a walk down Grafton Street, going up and giving yellow cards to people for no reason.
Me and Tommy will film you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you this week, and it's great to welcome Hector back into the country and to be in the same room as the two of ye. We'll talk to you again soon. God bless and good luck.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.